Greetings, I'm your host, James Gillen. We've got another great show. I have a couple very good friends coming on the show tonight, and we've got Mary Rodwell, and she's the director of ACERN, and she's also a counselor, a hypnotherapist, and she's been working with this off-world experience for quite a long time and has an amazing amount of information about it. And with her, we've got my good friend Giles as well, and he's a geneticist and a former left brain scientist that didn't think any of this stuff was real and had a major opening and awakening, and because of that we've become great friends. And so now he's got his vast education and science mind, you know, to put to the experiences to combine the two, which is quite a gift. So anyway, without any further ado, I want to welcome you guys on the show. Are you with us?
We are indeed, and hello from Australia.
Hi, James.
Hey, great to hear your voices again.
You too, mate.
You know, there's so many things that I wanted to talk about, but the first thing I really wanted to cover is that I started getting emails from some of your friends that were with you on this experience, and I guess you had quite an experience when you're all together. You had a major contact happen.
Yeah, it was quite interesting, actually. I met I met a guy called Dean Leftwich when I was at the ranch, when I first came up to meet you guys, and there were a few blokes from Australia up there at that particular time, one of which was Dean, and we sort of made a bit of a connection whilst we were up there and got on fairly well. And after I left the States and came back to Australia, Dean and I reconnected, and we sort of started hanging out together and sharing experiences and what have you. And I knew Mary pretty well at the time, and I'd been looking sort of to move up towards sort of around Mary's sort of area. And Dean and his friend Wendy, who's actually a psychic, they came up to visit one weekend, and I said, well, look, you know, whilst you guys are up here, I think it's really important that you meet Mary. I mean, especially Wendy, because I think she was having some sort of direction issues with her life, you know, very, very tuned into the spiritual world, and, you know, was kind of struggling with the whole 3D side of things. So I thought, well, we'll all get together and we'll go up to Mary's house. And so we sort of arranged that. And as we were walking in, a strange thing happened. I'm not one of these 11-11 people, but we walked into a cafe for breakfast, and Wendy turned around and said, what's the time, Giles? And I pulled my phone out of my pocket, and of course it was 11:11. And I showed Dean and Wendy, and they say they see it all the time, you know, when just before, you know, something that they need to pay attention to happens. And I was like, right, okay, well, fair enough. So I kind of brushed that off. And we had a cup of coffee, and then we got in the car and headed up the hill and came in to meet Mary. And it was just bizarre, man. As soon as we walked into Mary's house, it was like everything changed. Everything shifted slightly. Mary obviously knew Dean from somewhere, I think, because there was that interaction happened very quickly, and she's like, oh, hello, I know you from somewhere.
James knows about this. You meet people that you know, and you know that you haven't met them on this planet as consciously, at least, but you certainly know them.
Yeah, it's kind of, when one person is aware of that and sensitive to it and the other person isn't, it's quite a challenge, you know. They think you're either crazy or gay or something, you know.
It's a good pickup line, James. No.
Yeah.
I guess it can be a bit awkward.
Exactly.
So we came in and we had a bit of a chat and had a cup of tea, didn't we? And then Mary's got a little sunroom, I guess, at the back of the house, and she invited us all in there to sit down and have a cuppa. And, man, literally probably a couple of minutes after we got in there and started sitting down, I started seeing these little smoky things sort of moving around in the room, like quite busy. Mm-hmm. Like there was lots of movement at the corner of my eye and stuff moving straight in front of me. And then Wendy, who's sitting on the left-hand side to me, she just looked at me and she went, oh my God, this place is just absolutely filling up. And I was like, yeah, I know, it's interesting, isn't it? And I'm trying to stay very left brain, like, what's is there something wrong with my eyes? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then we just start, and everybody just starts getting these waves of energy, like just being absolutely bombarded by it. And everything starts to shift a little bit in the room. And Wendy's struggling because obviously she's very in touch with what's going on. And she's kind of got, she's looking at me at one point and gets hold of my hand and looks me straight in the eye and says, I'm going to have to go and stand outside in a minute because it's just too intense. Yeah. And of course, Dean, being the energy junkie that he is sitting in the, sitting in the chair going, oh my God. And there's, you know, and everyone's seeing these balls of light, like little balls of light and explosions of light around the place, and this weird kind of smoky sort of, they were just like apparitions, I guess. They looked, I guess, what people would call apparitions. I don't really know how to explain it, but there was, and it went on for about 2 hours.
Wow.
Now I don't have any kind of intuitive sense of any description, I don't think. I mean, maybe I do, and I'm just not aware of it, but. Others in the room, I mean, Mary obviously had a sense of what was going on, and she was probably the only grounded one out of the lot of us because everybody was, all of the rest of us were just sitting there and we were just getting this incredible intense energy for like 2 hours, and Mary was very, very grounded, and you know, she was obviously aware that it was going on because there were lots of oohs and ahs and yelps and screams.
Oh my God, did you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
What was that? Did you see that one? Yeah. And I'm going, yeah, right, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, it was obviously, I'm not sure what it was. Dean's still talking about it, man, like it blew. Dean went to South America to try and experience the went to experience ayahuasca and the spiritual kind of connection that gave him, and he looked at me when we came out and he goes, man, I can't believe I went all the way to South America to have an experience when I could have just come up to Agnes Water and had a cup of tea with Mary. <Yeah. laughs> So that was the kind of profound effect that it had, and also Wendy. The both of them, it's kind of changed them both a little bit. I mean, definitely Wendy seems to be far more focused on trying to get out of this sort of, you know, the 3D thing, because people go to her for readings all the time, and she's kind of a little bit, I think she wants to work on herself a little bit more rather than other people. So I think it's given her the impetus to do that. So... yeah, it was a really, really intense couple of hours, man. I've had some crazy experiences, and that's definitely up there amongst them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Mary, what was your take as far as your observation of what was happening?
Oh, look, it was quite clear because I sort of tuned in, and you know, the one word that came out loud and clear in block capitals was activation.
Uh huh.
So it was. For me, it was like, I felt there was quite a council there. Let's put it like that.
Uh-huh.
The feeling was that there was a lot of things that need to happen very quickly, and we were together for that reason. And it was very much about a shift for everyone. And the fact they had each other to validate it, I think, was extremely important. We know Giles is still fairly strongly left-brained, so it was good for him to have, you know, the confirmation from those in the room that what he was seeing, they were seeing. I think that was the wonderful thing for all of them, was that it wasn't just one person. And Wendy was tuning in at the time. I was getting information. So that was coming into the mix as well. There was information flowing from both her and myself around all of this. But my main sense was that we had visitors, and the visitors were assisting in the frequencies that was actually happening at that point. It was really fascinating to watch. And you know me, I'm pretty grounded, James, on one level. And I think you have to be even more grounded when this is going on rather than the other way around, as you well know.
Yeah.
It's really important to be really connected to to that balance when a lot is going on. But they left me all flying, let's put it like that. That was flying on something, you know, they were all quite high, and that continued, didn't it, at your place?
When we left Mary's, we went back to my place, and it was a few hours later, it was dark, we were in the kitchen actually preparing dinner, and I noticed something changed in the house. Like, when I turned around to Wendy, and I actually looked at Wendy, and I don't do this, but I actually looked at Wendy, and I was like, is there something here? Because I was seeing, like, these little lights and stuff, and she looked at me, and she said, I was just about to tell you, Giles, that your house is starting to fill up. She said, there's a man standing behind you, but your house is filling up with other things. And she said, they've just told me it's the council, that the council were here. And she said, her exact words, I can't remember exactly, but she looked at me and she said, this is about you. It's not about us. You need to, this is about you. They're not interested in us. This is about you. Probably because I probably need twice as much work as anybody else, you know, like me. So just to pass the bar. But anyway, she said, can you go and, they want you to stand over there. They want to know that you're willing. So you have to put yourself, you know, you have to show that you're willing. So I walked over to the room and I can see these little blue balls of light appearing and disappearing. And I can see shadows and smoky stuff again, just like at Mary's place. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously a validation thing here, because Wendy looked at me and she said, right, they're going to start giving you downloads. And she said, and it's going to come, and they're starting. And she said, and I can see them. And she says, and they're starting now. And she said, I'm not allowed to come anywhere near you. And she said, it's starting now. And the moment she said it, all these waves of energy just started kicking through me. And I'm standing there, and I've got my hand, I mean, I've got a photograph of me standing in my living room, my hands out in front of me, and Wendy stood there going, I can't come anywhere near you. This is just fully intense, you know. And I've got my hands out going, and I'm puffing and puffing because there's this crazy intensity just going through me. And I said, Wendy, can you ask them what's going on? Who am I? What's this all about? And she said, all they're telling me is that you're a soldier, and you needed to. What was it? She said you needed to. Accept that this is happening and volunteer or something like that, or be aware that this is happening, which is why they asked you to step forward, and you know, so that you're actually giving permission for this to happen. Mm-hmm. And Dean stood snapping photographs and bits and pieces off, and I've got some very odd photographs of me where my face doesn't even look like me, and there's these little blue balls of, you know, light around and stuff like that. You've seen them, haven't you, Mary? Yeah. So it was a very, and this went on for about half an hour. And the interesting thing about this whole thing, James, is afterwards all of us were absolutely shafted for about a week afterwards. Like, we couldn't. Wendy and Dean were down, went back to the Gold Coast, which is about a six-hour drive from here. And they couldn't function. Like, they were struggling to do day-to-day things. I got quite grumpy because I hadn't slept, and I was absolutely... I mean, I hadn't slept that night because I was just completely wired, and then I was grumpy, and then I couldn't get my shit together for about 5 days. Excuse my language, but I just couldn't get it together at all. And with Dean and Wendy and I were obviously communicating, and we were all having the same problems. Like, Wendy had parked her car, and she'd walk away from the car to get a cup of coffee, and then she wouldn't be able to find a car afterwards. Do you know what I mean? So everyone was completely, everyone had been completely hijacked and was, you know, wandering around and on space cake or something for the next 4 or 5 days. And it took a while for everyone to come down, but it was a very, really, really, really intense experience.
I'll bet. Yeah. What I find out is when you get a download like that, we had something similar. I've talked about it on other shows. I don't want to get into it. I'll send you the photographs. But we were standing on top of a crystal mountain in near Joshua Tree at Giant Rock, and we went through a ceremony there to release any souls that needed to go and whatever. And next thing you know, all these balls of light started, you know, blue and purple, and everything surrounded us. And then And then these huge flames of purple energy started all around us, engulfing us. And the next picture, we are gone for about 10 minutes. We don't know what happened or anything. And the next picture we have is us all standing there, and we're blue and we're transparent. You can see right through us. I mean, it's amazing. I have some weird light thing, like a badge on me, this big light insignia on my chest, really strange. The whole thing was just unbelievable. And then after we were done with that, we go, that was incredible. We got totally recalibrated on this one.
Yeah.
And we start to walk down the hill, and right there in front of us on the path was these crystals all stacked up that weren't there before. There's no way we could have missed them coming in, to show us that somebody was there and we were gone, And so, and we saw another ship on the ground, just 5 feet above the ground, an inner earth ship. But it was pretty intense. But I know what you're talking about, because on the way back, it was a 30-minute drive out there. On the way back, it seems like it was a 2-hour drive, and time was all distorted. And I'm just going, what room am I in? There is no way I could have gotten back to the hotel. Luckily, somebody else was driving, and I probably couldn't even drive after that. But the same thing is, I was such a space cadet. I was just going, what was my room number? Okay, I remember where it is, but I couldn't even get my number up,
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably, when these things happen, it's difficult to come back to solidity and then just do the sort of day-to-day stuff. And the mundane things, really, the stuff that you take for granted every day because you're sort of, you're pre-programmed to do it, I guess. That becomes the stuff that's hard to do. And I don't know whether or not that's because something's been removed or something's been put in or whatever's going on, but certainly there's certainly just the day-to-day tasks become really like you have to think really hard just to do something simple, I've got to get to my car, which is just there and I can see it, but walking over there is going to be hard work for me, kind of thing. So,
Well, I think what happens, my understanding of it is that when you talk to somebody that's totally enlightened, and things. I know a guy, my friend Max, he's got like 9 degrees, PhDs that I know of, and he's one of the most brilliant scientists on the planet. But, he doesn't remember my name half the time or anybody else's name or his keys or things like that. And I'm the same way sometimes. It's the small stuff, the little mental stuff is no longer important because most of your consciousness is on another dimension almost.
Somewhere else.
You're pulling a lot from a lot much higher place. And so just the little mental stuff of here just kind of goes by the wayside.
Yeah.
Mm. And have you noticed, James, that the more and more people with experiences are, I've got a number now that are really struggling to be third dimensional, that are saying, I feel like I'm somewhere else most of the time. I can't even relate to my family anymore. I can't relate to any of this in any shape or form. It's like I'm just moving somewhere else.
Yeah.
And, and that's been the hardest thing, is that the family doesn't understand. They can't explain why they're different, but they just don't feel connected anymore to the planet. They feel like they literally have already shifted.
Yeah.
Have you got a bit of that going on with those that are coming to, to you?
Uh-huh. And, that does happen. It's part of that reality. And I've seen, it's good to have somebody there to say, hey, it's okay. Yeah. That's part of the process. And to help them, get through that. But I think we're getting very close to a place where we are going to be in two different worlds. And there's a separation going on. And the people that are like that they're already there. A lot of the practices we do, like Yigong and the self-mastery classes and things like that, we have people phasing in and out where they become see-through or they disappear altogether. And they're just in the next world. They're kind of zipping back and forth between worlds. And it's really okay, and I think it's a good thing eventually, because when that shift happens, they're gonna go, oh, that was nothing. I'm just, I'm in the next, the next frequency or the next phase, mm-hmm. and I've stepped out of the old phase, the old grid, you might say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But have you had a lot of people that you've been? Now, one thing I'm curious too is that we are really getting intense. connections going on here with these felines and the lion beings, and then there's some that look more like a panther, and some look like a humanoid cat. But they're just coming in strong lately. And have you had a lot of some of your clients having those same experiences, Mary?
With felines, as well as the manta, of course, I seem to be getting a lot with the manta connections. And I think I already told you about a little boy here who was connected to both the felines and the manta. But the manta, he says, is more his family than the felines, although he's very connected to the felines as well, which also, you know, his sort of stepfather also gets a combination of both of those. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting how, you know, a lot of them now are saying that is family, you know, this is family. And I don't know what that is. I mean, you know that Giles, of course, has seen and experienced the mantid. I don't know what you feel about them now. Do you have any particular feeling about the fact that
you see them?
They look cool. There you go. What do you do with them, James? I tell you.
But I told you, I don't get any. Honestly, I'm so dumb when it comes to that intuitive side. I just look at these things and I observe them and I go, wow, that's, you know, that's really quite fascinating from a scientific point of view. And I spend all my time just trying to observe it and take as many, you know, physical details as possible. I think I told you, James, when I was having one of the experiences, I was paranoid that it was trying telepathy with me and that I was so thick and left brain that I wasn't receptive to it. And it was just sitting there going, like, because they stare, like, and they don't move. And they're just from your head. And, I mean, this thing was awesome to behold. Like, I mean, there was a bit of a panic when I first saw it. But afterward, man, when you see these things, they're just glowing this blue-purple colour and they've got these little beads of light moving through their veins, you know, and they can move. I mean, I watched this thing appear and disappear with a flash of light. Like, it was not, and this is not a little bit of time. It wasn't a blink of an eye. I mean, this thing was in my room for quite a period of time. And they stare. They don't move. There's no movement. They just stand with these long arms, massive black eyes, just staring at you. And I'm having this flashing light going on, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, right, okay, are you trying to talk to me? Am I really big? I'm really sorry. I was apologising in my head, going, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. And then eventually, I opened my mouth and said, look, can I help you? Is there anything I can help you with at all? And, you know, cup of tea or something. You want to sit down and have a chat? And this thing, you know, shortly afterwards disappeared. And I remember thinking to myself how disappointing it must have been for that creature to visit somebody on this planet and go, right, okay, I've invested my time and effort to come and visit you. And really, that's all I got from you.
You didn't offer it a bug or anything?
Sorry?
You didn't offer it a bug or anything, huh?
You see, the thing is, with all of this, I mean, Giles gets the downloads, even though he can't access them yet. And I think they're probably time, you know, locked or something in some way. I think it's the software for the new hard drive, personally, or the new awakened hard drive. That's the way I look at it, James, you know, is that when the time is right, he'll be able to access what he needs then. And in the meantime, knowing what a bugger lugs he is and the fact that, you know, he struggles with communication, they're probably thinking it's a waste of time because he won't listen anyway.
Well, you know, you took the words right out of my mouth, because the a lot of that information gets downloaded and it's for the future. And it's there. It's in the subconscious, but we're just not accessing it. And then the other thing, too, is that, you know, it could be like part of a indoctrination where first you're just going to see them and realize they're real and get used to them, and they'll do a few more of those, and then they start really working.
I want to be clear, though, like, it's not, there's nothing negative
about
any of the interactions I've had. I mean, I've seen some pretty unpleasant things. I've had some pretty negative experiences, but none of it's harmed me in any way. And I don't, you know, and most of the negative stuff that hasn't been what you would integrated. It was always human related, do you know what I mean? If anything sort of negative that was going on. So, it's not, there's no fear when I see these things. It's more fascination and Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't get that. I mean,
well, it's good to remember, you know, when they're just standing there and staring at you, that they do that right before they eat you.
Well, when you can't move, you have two options. You can either freak out and not move, or you can chill out and not move. Yeah. I always choose the chill out and not move option and just, you know, and just try and enjoy the experience. You know, if I get eaten, at least I'm not going to waste.
For those who don't have a sense of humor, that was a joke, you know, that they aren't here to eat us. And although a lot of people are spreading those things, you know, it's like we got to get out of the fear.
Yeah, and if they were here to eat us, I think we'd have been eaten by now. Anyway, this dude didn't even have a mouth. So, I mean, I'm not sure
how he could do it. Yeah.
Use a straw or something. Yeah. Anyway, so. Yeah.
Well, I imagine they don't even. I'm sure they just live off of life force energy or something.
This thing had light moving through his veins.
That's like, what I mean. They probably don't need to eat anything.
No, like I mean, this thing was so frail and gentle and delicate, and you know. And some people say that you have loving sensations, but I don't get that from anyone. So it was just awesome, you know, without any judgment or preconceived ideas. This thing was just absolutely fascinating. And it, like you say, to me, it just appeared as this thing existed on some other level where it didn't need to consume solid matter. I mean, it disappeared with a flash of light. I mean, things that do that don't need steak and chips. I really don't think they do, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we hear about a lot of the different intelligences, that a lot of them survive through absorbing energy or absorbing light. And in the regressions that I do, only recently, one of the ladies that saw herself on another planet and almost, you know, sort of two-dimensional. And she said, and we get energy by absorbing it in this. And she described a chamber that was almost magnetic. And she said, and we literally absorb this golden energy directly. Mm-hmm. And she said, it's in the room, it's available to us, and we literally download it. She even said that this energy is something now that she brings to this planet. And it's something, and whether or not you call it a frequency, whether or not you call it an energy, she said, it's actually hard to describe what it is. But she says, I'm meant to give it out, she said, and it helps with people, she said, almost like an energetic psychiatrist. It actually calms consciousness. It helps people to balance and open up and all those things. And I mean, she's a scientist telling me this in impression, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she said it's the same energy she was being shown on a planet that she came from. And it's the energy that she's bringing in to the planet now. And part of it is why she finds herself talking to lots of people. And she said, and she ended up doing a radio show. And she said, I don't know how that happened, but they were telling me the reason for that is that I need to get out there. I need to spread it. And they give me more as I need it. And she said, and it's a really interesting one because it helps people open up. It helps people to, you know, break down the barriers and what have you. And she said, and you've got it as well, Mary. She said, you know, you do this. But what was fascinating about her regression, I asked her if I could actually talk about it, and she was cool. But the funniest thing happened, James, when she was just about in this black space going into what she said was a huge metallic room, which, of course, was a huge craft. And as she's going into the craft and she said, I'm hearing lots of noise, it's very busy, and I'm seeing this being. Now, I don't know whether you've heard that. It's a one of these phone, what do they call them?
It's a ringtone.
Ringtone, yeah. Where it's kind of like, you know, what do they call it?
It's like the UFO.
Like ringtone. A UFO ringtone.
Oh, yeah.
Just as she's saying she's going into this huge craft and seeing this being, we get this ringtone. And she thinks it's in her head, but it actually isn't. It came in just as she's describing meeting this being in this craft.
Oh, wow.
And afterwards, you know, her phone was off. There was absolutely no way this sound could happen. And yet it happened just the once, just as she's entering this craft. And she said, it wasn't in my head. I said, no, it wasn't, because I heard it as well. And we just still think it's hilarious how they have such a sense of humor. that literally, as she's entering, talking about entering this craft, we hear this ringtone, which is the UFO ringtone. I'll have to send it to you, James. It was absolutely bizarre, but hilarious at the same time, you know?
I'd love to hear it. I've got something happening on my phone where some kind of an application, I don't even know, I don't have that sound on my phone. I don't know where it's coming from. But it's a spring, and it's going boing, boing, boing. And then this woman's name comes up who's deceased, and she was a kahuna, a very spiritual, very gifted woman who's crossed over a couple of years ago. And her name pops up, but when her name pops up, it's not in any application. Like, it's not coming out of voicemail. It's not coming out of message. You know, it has its own... its own weird little space when it pops up, and every time I do that, Rich, one of her main students, you know, he's struggling, and I have to give him a message or whatever, you know, I call him up, and he goes, yeah, she was just here, she said, I'm not listening, you know, so it's really funny, but they're actually using my phone, and the weirdest ringtone I've ever heard, and the reason they do that is because it's not in my phone, there's no way to explain it.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that got to me was obviously her phone was switched off anyway, and it's not the ringtone she uses.
Yeah,
there was absolutely no way that could manifest in normal, in any kind of normal way. And normally if someone uses that ringtone and they're ringing you, it's more than once. It does it over and over. This was just the once, just as she's entering the craft and saying, it's very busy and I'm just seeing this being, and then we got this, and it was just, she chuckled, we laughed, and she said, did you hear it then, or was it in my head? And I said, it really was there. I mean, I've got it on the recording.
Nice.
And we just thought it was absolutely hilarious, you know, and it's all those kinds of things that continually amuse me in how they're saying, are you taking notice then? Just so you realize this is real, you know, and that constant reminder of letting us know that this is a reality, you know, which I just think is hilarious.
Well, I think that's why when we came down off that mountain, I mean, we're at the top of this mountain and we're just walked down just a few feet. And here's this, all these crystals stacked up, and they're very precarious the way they were stacked. And there's no way we could have missed that on the way up, or somebody wouldn't have kicked it or whatever. And it was just amazing looking at that. I go, they left that same thing. They left us a physical example that we could look at and go, okay, wait a second, that was real. Somebody was here and somebody left that. And there's no way we could have, there's nobody else there on the mountain. You know, there's no way anybody could have snuck up and did that.
Yeah.
But they did that when we had that little bit of missing time. They did it when we went up, you know, on the ships. But, I love that when they leave a little physical validation of things.
I think it's so important because we are still very connected in many ways to our third dimensional reality. And those kinds of things remind us that we're not, you know, on some crazy trip here, that there is a tangibility to this. And I think it's really important that we do have those kinds of things. But it was lovely in the sense that she got a lot of answers. And one of the most fascinating was about time, where she said, we can literally, as we need something, we just think it and it manifests. And she said, and that's when time exists, but it only exists when we manifest things from thought into matter, which I thought was a really interesting kind of concept. And I actually hope to put her, I've put it all down into an article, because it was quite interesting in terms of how time and space seems to only occur when it becomes manifest into matter. The rest of the time, she said, you know, time doesn't exist. By thought, thought creating matter, she said.
What was it Descartes said? I think, therefore I am.
That's right. You know, so that was really fascinating. So she said, I just need to think it, Mary, and it's there. She said, that's all we need to do, you know, when she was on this planet, that was all she needed to do, was to think what she wanted. She said, I thought I need a chair to sit on, the chair would be there, was the way she operated on that planet, which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah, I've heard about a lot of the fifth dimensional lives, that people are there when they talk about, a lot of times when they cross over into the higher dimensions, and they just need to finish up their desires, you might say, and you know, they... good examples of my dad. When my dad crossed over, I was meditating. All of a sudden, I'm there, and I'm dreaming, and he's driving up in this red Jeep with his fishing poles, and he's got his cabin on the lake, and you know, and he can go out fishing and manifest a beautiful fish, you know, and come home and cook it and clean it, and whatever was unfinished, whatever he needed like to act out to finish off, he was doing there in this one realm, and I thought that was quite interesting.
Geez, I hope I go there, dude. I've got some serious fishing to finish off.
Yeah.
I can't catch anything when I go fishing. I'm going to be spending a lot of time in that realm.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be trying that realm in this realm in Mexico. So if I catch a few fish and hopefully not get caught by a fish, you know, I'm out there in the water.
Absolutely.
But anyway.
So you're going off to Mexico, I gather, Jane. So what's the plan when you're going to Mexico?
Well, you know, I've had these visions over and over again, and they're intense dreams where I go to one of the pyramids, and I know which one it is, and then back behind the pyramid, there's a place that I need to go to, and in the dream, I kept seeing the ground just open, like an earthquake or something, and then all these beings came out, and they're highly, highly evolved beings. Some of them were glowing. They weren't even quite physical. They weren't, you know, really, really physical anymore. They were more etheric, and there's something going on there. There's something I need to do to reconnect or connect with these beings. And I don't know the whole story. I've just had the dream, and it was so strong that at the end of the dream, I got an energy jolt that almost made me jump 2 feet off the bed. You know, like remember this. You know, remember this. So I guess that'll unfold, you know, that's one of the things. But usually I go down there and I do some lectures for the Weechels, and the money goes towards keeping their village together, you know, for the next year. And I try to, you know, just get a little me time out, you know, in nature barefoot, you know, on the beach if I can.
So it's like a rejuvenation for you, a recharging.
Yeah, yeah. This whole year was rough, I'll have to admit. I feel pretty beat up after all the work that was done and just, you know, all the healing and clearing work that was done. And now I need to go do a little work on myself and just get my own rejuvenation going.
Because the one thing that we talked about last time, James, was about being attacked by, you know, a lot of the MyLab stuff. I'm getting a lot of people that are feeling that as well, that, you know, and what to do about it and how to, you know, deal with it really. And that's the thing that I think's come up quite a lot for me over here at the moment. I know we talked about that before.
Yeah, they've been hammering us both with satellites and black helicopters and bringing equipment over here with gear on it I've never seen before and just scramble you know, it's some kind of a magnetic or scalar technology. And I was on the show with Dr. Dream and Laura Eisenhower and bam, you know, they flew right over the house here. And when they hit, I, you know, it was interesting. I kept it together and I finished the show. But afterwards, I was going, who am I? You know, and why am I here? It totally scrambled my energy. And it took me about an hour or two just to get grounded again, to get, you know, somewhat reassemble myself. But they have been playing with all kinds of technologies, and the chemtrailing here is just off the scale that they're doing. But, it's happening everywhere. And I don't think it's going to happen much longer. It's just their last ditch effort to try to hang on to this old grid and this old tyranny grid. And they're doing all they can to keep it together, but it's futile. You know, there's no way you can stop this movement and the energy coming in and what's happening. So they're just doing themselves and creating even more karma for themselves and ensuring that they are going to go to a lesser world with people just like them, you know.
And for yourself though, James, how have you dealt with it? I mean, what kinds of things have you put into place to keep yourself, you know, in as grounded a place as possible with all of that? What have you done to help yourself with that?
Some things I don't want to talk about because then they would know what I'm doing. But,
that's fair enough.
Yeah. It's just, but, you know, things, you know, like moving your cell phone, like don't sleep with your cell phone, you know, next to your bed, because that's how they target you. You know, things like that. Those are real basics. Yeah. One, I've been really cleaning up my you know, diet and trying to get exercise and stay grounded and get the heavy metals out of my system the most I can, you know. So the more healthy you are, the more you can fend off these things. And then I do clearing work like 3 or 4 times a day. I'm constantly clearing the energy here and you know, building shields and asking for protection and things of that nature. But we're getting a lot of protection. If I didn't have the protection I have, and I'm sure you do too, we wouldn't, you know, we know we both probably wouldn't be here right now. But it doesn't mean we're not going to take hits now and then, because I guess that's part of the process. But we can, I seem to be put back together just as fast as I'm, you know, ripped apart, you might say.
And I know this is a hard one for those that are opening up to their experiences, to know that there is a human orchestrated covert program, because, you know, it's one thing accepting you've got ET experiences and encounters. It's another to know that there is a human orchestrated program. And a lot of people think you've lost the plot when you talk about that, and that it's all conspiracy theories and what have you. And I think it's, you know, just an important thing to say that no matter how skeptical you might be, doesn't protect you necessarily from experiencing this. And I mean, as Giles knows, I mean, he's had a bit of that as well. He understands that, and others too. No matter what your, you know, belief system is, you can't get away from the fact that this is a reality. And we know that there's been many researchers that deny this is part of it, and they just want to blame everything on the ET side of things.
Oh yeah. And there's definitely, I mean, that it's undeniable. I'm aware of a lot of their technologies and how they work, and especially the scalar technologies and things. And, you know, people need to realize, and in ancient yoga, they talk about it. The closer you get to nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads. And, you know, it's the same thing with this civilization. The more you break out of this civilization, the more this civilization tries to keep you in or make you go away or shut you up, you know. So, because it is the Archon network that is the majority of what's running this planet right now. So they don't really want you disconnecting and awakening, because you can no longer be controlled. And they don't want you waking up others as well, because, you know, that's their playpen.
I just think it's really important, because there is so much flack being given out to the extraterrestrial side of things, and wanting to blame them for all the, you know, the difficult stuff they may be experiencing. And as we know that often, and I know it's prevalent, very highly prevalent in the US, as you know, and certainly it is in the UK as well, and we get a certain amount here. That it is actually extraterrestrial at all, and they're being blamed for it.
A lot of it's just technology, you know. Yeah. A lot of it's just, you know, using microwaves and using scalar waves and using, you know, other technologies from helicopters or from, you know, mobile vehicles, even satellites. They have that technology. People would be shocked if they knew the technology that we have up in space and the abilities. You know, I've seen, I can't mention the guy's name. I had a guy here that had that clearance in his computer, and he showed me. And he said, watch this. And he flipped his card through his computer. And the next thing you know, I'm looking down on the White House, you know. And he goes, watch this. And he goes in again and again and again. You can see the people's faces and everything. You could tell who they were. And he goes, well, I can go further, but then it sets off the bells. You know, to where you can actually read, you know, what kind of pencil the guy's writing with, you know, or something like that. So, and these are in space. So you can imagine, I would imagine they also have programs, you know, they could probably hone in on sound or have some kind of a lip reading program or something where they're aware of everything. So, you know, and, you know, you look at what's going on with the NSA right now, where they're listening to every email, you know, they're gathering every email, every phone call, every device we're using to communicate. So basically, I just think it's a given that technology is there, and it's far beyond what most people can imagine. And right now it's in the wrong hands, but I think that's temporary. You know, it's about ready to be reversed on them.
I think you're right, and it was interesting that I was with it was a kind of workshop that I did a few weeks ago with a group down in the Sunshine Coast. And there was a little 7-year-old girl, a lady with two children, and one was a 7-year-old girl. And what was fascinating about this little girl was we'd done quite a bit. And then because this little girl before had looked in my book and seen one of the scripts and quite spontaneously read it to me in the star language and then translated it into English, I asked her again to go through the scripts. And she said, "I can't read them all, Mary, but I can read this one." And it was one that looks a bit like shorthand. And I said, "Can you read it? Can you translate it?" She said, "Yes." And she said, "Do you want it in the language or do you want it in English?" And I said, "Could you do both?" And she said, "Yes." So it was obvious she was reading it in the way that she went really slowly with each part of the script. Mm-hmm. Then she translated it and I asked her what it was about, and it was about ecology and how we have to look after things. Then I said, and where is the source of this information? And she said, from the greys and the mantid beings, she goes. Mm-hmm. But what was fascinating after that, and this is the thing I wanted to particularly say, she was obviously tuned in by this time. And she said, there is something important coming from space. And she said, and it's something that a lot of people in that have power on this planet already have, but they don't share it. They use it for the wrong purposes. But she said there is something going to be given where it is going to be given to the right people, and they will be able to use it for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And what was fascinating was she came actually with a date. Now, whether that's 2013, 2014 or whatever, but she mentioned December the 15th, but she didn't give a year. So I don't know whether it's now or whatever. But it was interesting that she came up with a date. Now, this is a 7-year-old we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was quite fascinated. And the way she described these people on the planet that do have this information but aren't using it for the right purposes. And it just spontaneously came after she'd done this translation, if you like, of one of the scripts. And again, you know, I think for me, when it's a 7-year-old that's coming out with this, I think that in itself gives you a whole new take on the information. But I'm just giving it to you as an offering of something that could be, who knows what that actually means, unless if it resonates in any way to some of the information that you're getting at the moment.
Yeah, it does. It does make sense. And I know too that we're getting a lot of information about the ancient Anunnaki, and which is a long story, but the ones that didn't fall, you know, that kept their integrity, that operate under universal law, those groups are coming back, and they're actually doing a recall on the ones that fell, that are creating problems down here. They're being called before the councils. And so that, and along with a lot of, you know, the Pleiadian, the Orion Council of Light, and the Arcturians, and
Charles is laughing here because he won't say it.
So you're telling me that I was actually in court when I was at my house and the council appeared, are you?
Yeah.
Was I in the dock?
You got a spiritual spanking. No, but it's kind of interesting. They're doing a recall, which is quite interesting, but what I'm seeing is that a lot of these other energies that have been at play down here, been here forever on the planet, are being cleaned up, and a lot of the controlling, manipulating energies are being taken out on the highest levels, and that's going to filter down, you know, through the other levels. And what's sad is what you're saying too is that we do have incredible technologies, but they're in the wrong hands. And what I think is what you're saying is these other technologies are going to start coming into the right hand, so we can, you know, yeah, stand toe to toe with some of these other energies and deal with them and you know, assist in their removal, do our part on this level.
Well, that's how I interpreted it, because of other stuff that I'm involved with, that sort of resonates a great deal. And I found it just fascinating that how we get fed little bits of information when we're on a certain track.
Yeah.
It's like it comes from all sorts of different directions, and you start finding, you know, that you're putting pieces together. Because mm-hmm. one of the other things was, I think with Giles and where he's living now, I think there's something about why he's there. And I got it something to do with, I would say, I know you would get it, James, is, and it was being shown about doing work on that block was, and I don't know whether you've heard, and I'm sure you have, of the Guardians.
Yeah.
That was something that came in to me, and I was sort of, I'm very wary. I always check out, but that was something that I got too. It was like pillars of light. And I was being shown when we were doing a sky watch that we would be, that they would be there. Mm. And what was interesting to me when I never said anything to anyone in the group when we went to do this, and afterwards at least two others talked about these pillars of light surrounding us, if you like. So it was a real confirmation for me that what I was getting actually had some integrity.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, yeah, he's definitely holding an energy on that grid point or whatever, and it's probably a joint operation, you might say, with the higher dimensions.
What was that guy's name that you saw?
Oh, and you know, I hadn't been aware of it before, although in the dim, distant past or something, and I got the word, and I said, okay, guys, because I did a bit of tuning in. I said, so I want to know who you are. And this very deep sounding energy, if you like, said Metatron. And I said, oh, come on. I said, you sound like my grandson's Transformers.
Yeah.
I was saying, yeah, go on. You just don't pull you. Pull, you know, you're pulling my leg here, you know, and whatever.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I go on. I look up the Guardians and I look up who Metatron is.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and what's fascinating is Metatron also is part of the, you know, what we call, you know of as the Tree of Life. And what's fascinating is there's Giles that's got this huge tattoo on his back. And what is it, Giles?
Tree of Life.
Tree of Life. So it was like, you know, and it was to do with the children, which of course is a real big focus of mine, is the new children coming in. And there were other things that went with Metatron that so fitted everything that I've been involved with, that, you know, I found it quite bizarre that attached to the Guardians was Metatron. And also what was interesting that night when we did go and do a meditation on Giles's block was what I was sensing in the middle was, and somebody else saw the Aboriginal, the Aborigine as well as me doing a dance.
Uh-huh.
And I was sort of saying, look, you know, they were saying, look, this is our land, and whatever. And I actually asked if, you know, we are part of your land now. Can we be accepted as well? And then what seemed to be like this matrix of information in the center. And I thought that I was only sensing something like this going on. But there was one other lady there that saw exactly similar things to do with the Aboriginal elder doing a dance. I think she said the snake dance. And,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and also seeing something in the centre of us.
And she also said she saw the pillars of light.
And the pillars, that's
well,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was kind of interesting.
It, you know, because I never talk about this stuff. I want to see them, because I always say to my source, you know, come on, prove it to me. Because you know, I give them a hard time because I know how easy it is to get carried away with intuitive information. And I really need it to be validated in a number of ways for me to give it, you know, credence, because I think that's really important. But I was getting it from at least two other people, exactly what I was picking up, they were actually picking up. And it was afterwards that we discussed what we picked up. And there was the verification, including the Metatron, believe it or not.
Yeah.
The next Metatron, which was, you know, I'd say I wasn't too sure about all of that, because you know what it's like, James. You hear these things being bandied about and you think, you know.
I can hear Giles over there going, so that's why I got that tattoo, you know.
Dude, seriously, like when Mary said to me Metatron, and I was like, yeah, so I'm now a part of the Transformer family, am I? You know, and then she said, no, seriously, like, you know, this happened and this is what it says. So I went up and I read it and I top it up, and then all of a sudden it's Tree of Life, and I just got this, you know, this shiver sort of running down my spine. But I do have to say, when we were sitting out in the garden or in the back field there by the dam doing this meditation, I saw a tree and a bat, and they were actually there. So that's about as much connection I have to the higher realms, really, that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
And I think I saw a kangaroo bouncing around behind us as well. So it's like, you know what, I sit there and these people do these meditations and they all sit down and they all say, well, what did you see? And it's like, yeah, my God, I saw that too. And you know, and I'm sitting there going,
yeah.
Cup of tea, anyone?
Or maybe that's your job, you know, to keep things grounded. Who knows, you know?
Yeah. So, who knows, man?
Well, it's a perfect combination. You're really thinking about it. You've had some outrageous experiences and connections and beings. And that picture of the ship you showed me that you took, that gold ship, was amazing. So,
yeah.
I mean, you've had some pretty amazing things. But you also have your grounded science background, too, that where you go, wait, hold on. I'm not a crackpot here. I've got degrees and I you know, fully functioning left brain here. So it's a perfect, you know, combination to deal with the outside world and say, hey, this is real.
It is helpful. I think actually, to be honest with you, it is helpful to be able to get up and get on with the physical.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't have it. I can get up and get on with it and get in the garden and do this, that, and the other. And I don't get distracted by, you know, stuff chatting to me in my head or anything like that. But when it comes like a baseball bat around the face and stays around for a few days and buggers off and leaves me alone for 3 months. So, yeah, that's what it seems to come in waves for me. It's not.
Yeah. But, you know, you're getting everything you need is being downloaded into your subconscious.
Yeah.
It'll come out when you need it.
I think so too, James. I think that, you know, sometimes we need those breaks just to assimilate what's happened and you know, integrate it before the next hit comes along.
Exactly. I think you'd go nuts if you didn't have an integration time, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I always go nuts after an experience for about a week, and it takes a while for me to settle down again because it's like, is that intense?
And yet he's seeing the balls of light, you know, and you'll say, I saw a blue ball of orb above your head, Mary. Now, what the bloody hell is that? What's that doing there?
I was chatting to Mary the other day and she's sitting on the couch and we're having a chat and all of a sudden, just above her head, this blue sparkly sphere just pops into sort of sight just above her head. And I'm looking at it, I'm blinking, and it's still there, and I'm going, what on earth is that? And it disappears. And I'm sitting there going, and my brain's going, did you see that? Was that real? What was that? Should you tell Mary? If you tell Mary, she's going to think you're mad. And then it's like, of course she's not going to think you're mad. And I waited 2 days, I think, to tell her, because my brain was having this internal argument about whether or not there was actually something there. So this is what, you know, and you say you're blessed with the left brain. This is what you have to contend with when you have this left brain. You don't accept, it's so difficult to accept any of it, you know, on every level. Like I still do it all the time. I wander around when I'm in the garden, I'm doing a bit of gardening. I'm like, when I was up at your place, James, I saw white orbs and stuff. And do you remember when I was first up there?
Yeah.
And we were digging around in your garden and we had that, we were just starting the ditch witch. You and I hadn't really met.
Uh-huh.
And I saw this white ball, this white orb type thing just come flying towards me. And then I felt something stroke my face.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then my brain went, okay, that must have been a moth or something in the middle of the day that caught my face on the way past. And as I'm thinking it, again, I see this white ball, and this time, like, defined fingers stroking my face. And I turn around to you and I go, okay, James. And not, I think I'd known you for, like, 2 hours or something like that total. And you turn around to me, and I said to you, what's with the white balls and the face stroking? And your response to me was, that's just the nature spirits. They're thanking you for helping out on the ranch and stuff like that. And I remember looking at you going, oh, man, I'm in the wrong place. Do you know what I mean? I was just thinking, I came here to see UFOs. What is all this stuff about? Then it just continued the whole time I was there, you know. So it's this, and even though these things happen repeatedly over and over again, I'm still questioning constantly, is that real? Did I see that? What was that all about, you know?
Yeah.
3 months I spent with them on the ranch, seeing these things repeatedly.
Yeah.
Seeing, remember the big golden orb that was on your field? There was like 16 people or something in the field?
Yeah.
And four were screaming, pointing at it, going, can you see that? Can you see that?
Yeah.
And other people are there going, no, what are you looking at? And we're all screaming, pointing to this big golden orb that was like 8 foot in diameter. And I turn around to you and I go, dude, did you see that? And you're just like, ah, I see them all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny when these massive ships come over, you know, and you know, people just start screaming and hollering and everything. And then they look at me and I'm just standing there and I go, well, yeah, it's kind of an everyday thing here.
That's right. You know, standing there with a mouthful of sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
Yep. That's another ship. Yep.
Yeah. Give me a call when they land, you know.
Yes, exactly. Right. But, they have chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're hitting the end of the hour here, unfortunately, so we're going to have to sign off. But Mary, what's the best way for people to get in contact with you if they need to get more information?
Oh, look, obviously it's the website, acern.com.au, or just Google Mary Rodwell and my website comes up anyway. So it's very easy to find me.
Yeah, and I don't know if... if Giles wants to give out any information on his, he probably better lay low, huh?
Well, I think I'm on Mary's website now as a contact.
Oh, good.
If anybody wants to have a chat, just get in touch with me through a CERN. So, yeah.
Great. Yeah, I mean, I think it would really help people who are in the science, you know, into the sciences or whatever, in that training or that discipline when they're having these experiences, to have somebody to talk to them and say, hey, you know, you're not crazy, you know, forget about the rubber room and the you know, you might just want to explore this a little further
and just ride the wave a little bit,
because quite a few scientists now you know, that are contacting me with experiences, so it's really good for them to know that, you know, I've got a science guy now as part of a CERN. So Giles has very kindly offered to be that, which is absolutely wonderful.
Nice. Yeah, it's definitely, we've got to cover all bases. Well, anyway, we're at the end of the hour. Unfortunately, I could talk with you guys forever. We've got to sign off.
So, we probably will do one day, mate.
Yeah. Well, let me sign off here, and I'll get right back to you. So, anyway, this is James Gillen signing off. Have a great evening, and we'll talk soon. Hi.